If your mindset is I'm different or my community's different or that won't work here, I love you, but you are the problem. Like you are the problem. And so until you change that mindset, all this only scratches the surface of the impact that it can have.
Welcome back to the Millennial Dentist Podcast, a podcast all about working smarter, not harder, pushing dentists to go beyond dental school dentistry and build the practice of your dreams. Here is your host, the Millennial Dentist himself, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. I get the coolest people in the industry to share their thoughts, their insights, their secrets, to help you create a better practice and a better life. And I got a special one for you. I've got one of the heroes in podcasting. Actually, he's been doing podcasting way longer than I am. Actually, the first podcast I ever did was on his podcast. I was speaking. You're gonna have to remind.
I didn't remember that. I forgot about that. Yeah, it was the Hinman. Hinman.
Okay, so it's Dr. Sully Sullivan, and we're going to kind of reveal the topic as we get going, because anytime I talk to him, I'm learning a ton. You guys are going to love this. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I was like speaking, some woman comes up to me and she presented herself really nice. She's like, we'd like to talk to you. And I'm like, who's we? And so she's like, we'd like to interview you. So I told this the last time I was on. So they take me down to the floor and they walk me over to your booth. And then you've got all these people lined up. I'm standing behind Gordon Christensen, the man, and he goes on the podcast. And then somebody on your team offers me a beer, and I'm drinking a beer while I'm watching you interview Gordon Christensen. And I'm talking to my wife. I'm like, honey, you're not going to believe this. I'm news. She's like, Gordon Christensen's drinking a beer. I go, no, that's not the point. And I got on your
that
podcast,
is hilarious.
And I don't remember what we talked about, but it was so much fun. But you lit the fire for me, man. You were one of like the OGs that I'm like, dude, if I could ever be a fraction of how fun you are, I want to do this.
You're too kind. You're too
Welcome
kind.
Welcome back.
You've been way more consistent with them than I have. So kudos to you on that.
Well, if you ever start a podcast, the first thing they tell you is like, you don't need to be smart. And I'm like, check that box. I'm not. But you do have to be consistent. So
yes.
Thanks for being on again.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. This is fun. I always love doing this.
Yeah. So I want people to know who you are. So you have an amazing podcast. You got to check it out. You also do live courses. Let's start here. Who is Sully Sullivan? Give us a little background.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, I practice in Nashville, Tennessee. So practicing dentist. I graduated 2015, been around a lot of great people, great mentors, grew really quickly. We went from a one doctor practice. Now we're a six doctor practice. Got into education throughout that with my good partner and buddy, Tarun Agarwal, T-Bone. And then, I started the Millennial Dentist podcast back in, I think it was like the end of 2016 is when we started. And it's been a labor of love, right? Like you get it. Like it's, you got to be consistent and get on and do it. But I think what's funny is I never thought I would have gotten into like the education side or just like the podcasting side. Like I always loved being your quote unquote wet finger dentist, but I really am rewarded in love. And just like, to me, this fuels me. Like I have such a passion and enjoyment for these type of conversations, and I think part of it is just because like, I've realized way more success, Kirk, than I thought I would ever achieve in dentistry. And it's such a great profession. And I still think there's too many doctors out there who aren't feeling that. And to me, part of like my passion, I think behind it all is like, we all should love coming to work every day, doing the dentistry we get to do, and making it our own. And so that's kind of, I guess, my purpose at this point is like, I want to continue to help my community and grow the practice. But really my passion is like, gosh, how do we just keep loving more of what we do? Like life's too short,
It's totally. I want you to go
that's
back
me.
To that. Now, you guys have to know this. Like Sully's so sharp. There's so many reasons. Number one, you're fun to be around. Number two, you're brilliant. Number three, you're an excellent communicator. And then one of your biggest things that I notice is like how you think. So quick story, the ADA leadership team came to me. Actually, the president of the ADA is like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm like, this stuff, you know what we need? We need somebody who knows the next generation of dentists. Because they were trying to make decisions for like this layer and this layer. I'm like, can I bring Sully into this? And you were genius. Like some of the things you said, which we don't need to repeat on the podcast. I'm like, that is where dentistry's going. Like he's spot on. So I think you're super in touch with your generation. And that's, can you speak why you called it millennial dentist? I love the story behind that.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, at the time, you know, and this is 2015, 2016, I'm graduating, kind of coming up with the idea to even do this. We were, as a generation, we're taking a lot of shit, like where people just would look at us and be like, y'all don't work hard. You sleep in your parents' basement, like all these negative things. And I was like, that's not fair. Like, yeah, we have a sector of that generation, but every generation has that, right? Like has a group of people within it that aren't overachievers and whatnot. Ours just gets thrown on social media, but it's not everybody. And so I kind of really, my thought process was our generation is actually going to basically kick butt and take names because we're going to leverage technology and we'll leverage our access to information to have much more of a work smarter, not harder mentality to go further and faster than the previous generation.
Love it.
And I've seen that. Like I've seen, you know, my dad who's a dentist, you know, he would walk uphill in the snow both ways just to prove a point, you know, and I would look at this and be like, why don't we just get a car with chains on it? And then we just drive up there.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a different way of thinking, I guess.
Yeah. And I want you to go back to this. So you mentioned, you know, today we're going to talk, you're going to share some insights on like,
I have consumers. Some funny stories too. Yes.
I know. I do want you to just go back to what you just said, like the success piece, they aren't feeling it. Tell us a little bit more about that. So you talk to a lot of dentists.
Yeah.
And you mentioned they're just not feeling it. Where's that coming from?
Well, you know, I think it's twofold. I think one is we're in a time and place where the economics of our country is really for the first time for my generation, we're starting to feel more pressure and a pinch. I mean, you think about it, like since 2008, we've really been in growth mode as a country outside of COVID, yet COVID was infused with tons of cash. So like, yeah, we had a panic there for 6 months or 4 months, but it was kind of fake on some level in hindsight because we all got reimbursed for employees that we let go. We all got PPP loans or, you know, so there may have been a certain small sector that had trouble, but by and large, I look back and I was like, man, that actually turned out pretty good. I got a month off, life got into perspective. And so outside of that instance, we really haven't lived in any sort of economic climate outside of flourishing.
Right.
And so now I think we're starting to feel a pinch. Expenses are at an all-time high. You know, we mentioned off-air, reimbursements aren't moving. So we can talk down that path. And then the bigger one, I think, is that is kind of outside of the sector and time we're in, is that time and time again, I see dentists that come out of school and what makes them good is their hustle. And I think this will resonate with a lot of people that are listening, is you hustle and your hustle is what makes you successful. Like you refuse to lose. Like you do whatever it takes to win. But the problem is that mentality becomes the one mentality that holds them back from slowing down to speed up or going to the next phase of growth, meaning physically they've left survival mode, meaning the practice is successful. They've got money in the bank account, but mentally they're not practicing that way. So they've gotten on this hamster wheel that is ultimately leading to them being exhausted at the end of the day, doing less of the procedures that they want to do, more of the ones they don't want to do, and getting caught up into the emotional drama of running a practice or being in a practice, which is challenging, right? With team members and disgruntled patients and all that stuff. And it becomes kind of like miserable.
Right.
So those are really the two factors I see is that our success becomes the biggest inhibitor to our next phases of growth. And because we're too scared to slow down to make the change required because we're afraid that'll put us back into survival mode again. And then the other part of it is the external factors, I think, that are also causing that to happen now for the first time for my generation.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And of those two, that probably fuels your cause in doing the live work that you do. You know,
well, absolutely. Yeah. Because like to me, you know, when you look at like the different buckets of how do you You know, I love to say the best way to outrun expenses is to produce more. So like, you know, you can solve an expense problem pretty quickly if you just produce more, right? And so I've always had a mentality of like when things are tight, instead of figuring out how to save a penny, I figure out how to go produce a dollar. Like that's just conceptually was my mindset. And to me, when I look back and kind of the gateway to how did I increase my production? How did I go from being a $60,000 a month dentist to a $100,000 a month dentist was upping my clinical skill set. And the number one for me was getting into implants, right? Getting into dental implants. You know, when you can take a procedure from a relatively straightforward standpoint on cases that are not, you know, overly complicated, and I can give people teeth back in minimal visits, that becomes a really profitable procedure. So one of the things that we focus and do a lot of at all of our training at 3D Dentist is doing live patient education where we teach dentists how to do extraction and socket grafts. We teach them how to do PRF where they draw the blood, spin it. We teach them how to place implants through guided workflows. And even the doctors who are already placing implants, we teach those doctors how to go do full arch, overdentures, fixed. And what's cool is in North Carolina, the dentist can actually do dentistry on live patients. And so what we're doing is we've set up curriculums around these types of education where dentists can come from any of the 50, you know, United 50 states and actually get to do the dentistry on real live patients, which is really cool. And the side part of that, Kirk, just these are patients who we don't just pick like random patients. These are teachers, police officers. Our mission at Smile 3D, which is the nonprofit, is world-class dentistry for working-class people.
Love it.
And so it's cool because the dentistry that these patients get is subsidized, right, by the dentist coming for the education. So yeah. It's really cool to be able to give, you know, patients who normally wouldn't get this type of dentistry to get the done, you know, through the education that we get to do. So everybody wins in that kind of that standpoint. So it's really cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. We're going to put a link down in the show notes. If you're not taking notes, we take notes for you. So flip up to the notes. You can find out more. And I'm going to encourage you to check it out. Now, one of the things we talked about before we hit the go button is how we see consumerism or just poor consumers in general.
Yes,
I want you to unpackage that. Take us down that road.
Yeah. So I'll give you two funny stories. One story is this week I needed to get a shower door. So my shower door broke. So I need to get a new shower door. So in my mind, I think this is going to be a pretty easy process. Well, I'll call the company, they'll schedule me, and then we'll get this thing done. And my assumption was that they'll need to take measurements, right? Like I figured that's probably one step in the process. But otherwise, my pain point is what, Kirk? What am I trying? Like, what is going to accelerate me buying or not buying from a company here? What do you think it is?
It's going to be a connection. For me, and like you understanding my problem, and I saying you're my guy. That's
yeah. But
me.
So that's good. So number one is because my point in this conversation is that we've got to appreciate the buying process and understand that dentists are no different than Chipotle. We're no different from the doctor. We're no different from the car dealer. That we're not unique, and that the way people buy is all the same. And people don't buy for four reasons. Number one is trust. That's the one you just mentioned. Like, I have to have a connection. I have to have rapport, blah, 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 blah. Personally, Kirk, I think this one's a little overrated because that is all established now before I even call you. Like, I'm a big believer that social proof in 2024 establishes trust. Because before I even call you to see if you'll fix my shower glass, what have I already done?
Yeah, you've already checked me out on the Instagram, the website, yeah, like, everything. Yeah.
Like, do you have reviews? Are they bad? Like, if you're one star, I'm not calling you. If you got 100 five stars, okay, I'm calling you. Is your website good? Like there's an aspect of it that if I'm calling you, I already trust on some level that you can do the job.
Right.
Like, I'm a believer that, and I think dentists inherently, we put way too much emphasis on this one. Like, oh, if I'll just build really good rapport, that'll overcome all their other potential objections.
Right.
I don't think it's reality. So then the other three, the reasons that people don't buy are obviously what's the big one that people want to assume?
Oh, it's costs.
Money. Yes. We're always going to jump to money. So money's one. Secondly, it's fear, meaning like I'm not sure how this will turn out. I'm not confident in it. In dentistry, I'm scared of the dentist. And then the last one is time.
Right.
And time can play a lot of different roles. So And it's interesting because, so I like to observe myself get sold things all the time. It's like my favorite thing to do because I like to appreciate what other companies do well to sell me and how I buy, and then appreciate what they do badly.
Right.
So for me, with the shower door, when you got trust, time, fear, and money, which one do you think is my biggest priority?
Time.
Absolutely. Because look, I'm fortunate to be at a position in my life where, like, you know, relatively a couple hundred bucks here or there isn't going to make a difference.
Right.
I'm not scared of, like, I'm this door needs to be done. I'm not scared of it or the process. Like, I've made the decision to get the door. I trust the company. So it's how quickly and how pain-free can you make this process?
Right.
And what was fascinating was the first thing that I blew my mind was I called two companies. Both companies couldn't even schedule me.
Why?
They took my information and then said, we'll have the sales team call you. I'm baffled. I'm like, here I am calling to, like, wanting to buy from you, and you're going to have to call me back.
Right.
And you think about it, like, how many times does that happen where, well, let me have a treatment coordinator call you back, or let me check with the doctor and have you call you back, or like, let me, I'll ask the doctor if we do this procedure and then I'll call you back. And the odds that they're going to be able to call me and I'm not going to be in surgery, I'm not going to be home with my kid, I'm not going to be doing a podcast with you, it's baffling.
Yeah. Well, do you even answer your phone? Because mine is on do not.
Dude,
I keep it on do not disturb all day long.
Yes. So, like, number one was, like, from a consumer, I was like, how, like, that's crazy.
Right.
So that was problematic. Then the second one, finally, I got someone to at least just schedule me. And then, but then we had this argument back and forth about me needing to be there. And so, like, they're like, well, you need to be there. I'm like, I don't need to be there. Like, I will give you my code, come in my house. Like, in fact, because again, their logic in me needing to be there is similar to our logic in, I don't want to present a treatment plan over the phone.
Right.
You follow me? And that their logic is money is my barrier. And so they want me to meet them so they can justify their costs, build rapport so that I want to connect with them.
Right.
And this is an important point because what we've got to do better as dentists and other people that are trying to sell you anything is that I've got to learn to be able to recognize what people's pain points or objections are on the fly so that I pivot the way that I sell to them. And so if someone were to recognize that, hey, it's not about money for this guy, it's about the convenience and time, then they would win my business.
Right.
And it's no different than for us. We've got to, sometimes what I'll see is, like, dentists will slow down the buying process because they'll want to, you know, bring a patient back, or they'll want to, you know, who knows what the scenario is, but we just don't appreciate the hurdle to that. So that was kind of my first big eye-opening thing this week was I was like, it is unbelievably difficult to buy a shower door.
Okay. I still got to know what happened. Like, what did you...
So great question. So there's a guy going today, a different company, who, the best part, he texted me. So he didn't try to call me back. It was one of the ones that I did leave my information with. So he texted me. So then that's way more convenient for me. It's my preferred method of communication for this kind of thing.
Right.
Which, again, like, if you don't have texting in 2024, like a two-way texting, that's problematic. I said, hey, can I just let you in? He's like, that's perfect. I can go in between, you know, other calls that I have. And he goes, I'll email you the quote. And so most likely I'll go with this company, not even care, just because on some level, just to prove the point of, like, that is the way I wanted to be sold something, was I wanted it to be essentially frictionless. I didn't want to have to be there because I don't have the time to leave work, go do it, yada, yada, yada. And so, yeah, so that's most likely how the one that gave me the most frictionless process earned my business.
Yeah. Now let me throw something at you. I want to know what you think of this.
Yeah.
I love this story. And it's always time for me because I'm way older than you. I'm 54. I'm on the back nine. I don't have one hole to waste. Do you know what I mean? I don't have a day to waste. And when you look at the businesses that are blowing up the world, they all sell time. Uber is not a transportation app. It's a time app. Saves time. You know,
DoorDash, Amazon.
Amazon, all of them, it's all about time. I don't even care what it costs. It's like, it'll show up today. Got it. Do you know what I mean? Don't you think selling time is one of the things we don't talk about enough?
No, it's the number. I mean, we probably assume people just get it but it's they. I don't think they do. Is that, I mean, my time is my number one thing that I sell. I mean, it's the number one most expensive thing that I have. You know, and one of the things I hate about our industry is we typically look at overhead after the dentist. So people will say like my overhead's 55%, 60%, which is ironic because if you think about it, the dentist, which typically is paid what 30 to 32% or some level, the dentist, that one person is equivalent to the entire overhead of the entire team. It's fascinating if you think about it. So like yeah. I like to look overhead more of like, what does my business actually make after the dentist is paid? And my point of this is trying to understand and be representative of that my time is my most important thing, and that we don't, we should be setting our fees, by the way, around our time, not based right. off the material cost, et cetera.
Yeah. Because it's a race to the bottom.
Absolutely. You know, in that regard.
I mean, we could do a whole podcast on itemization. Do you, I already know where you're going to go. Do you like itemizing all of your fees? Do you like comparing crown fees?
Yeah, you I know mean, I like that. Yeah.
These are loaded questions that you could, I would love to just have you go on a riff on those, but,
let me tell you my second story, because it kind of piggybacks please. Into this.
Yeah.
So my second story about consumerism is yesterday I went to Uncle Julio's. Do y'all have Uncle Julio's?
No. What is it?
It's like a fancy Mexican. You know, it's like a little bougie Tex-Mex, but it's a little more bougie. It's not like your cheap Mexican, you know. So we go there. So I go with three team members, and we had just finished up our morning. We had a big case, so we were going to go have margaritas and be done for the day. So we go to get their lunch. It's a beautiful day in Nashville. There's all this outdoor seating. So I walk in, they're like, do you have reservations? And I was like, well, no, which I don't like the question, because then it makes me feel like I should have needed reservations versus just like whether I have them or not. Do you have a seat? And then I said, well, is it possible for us to sit outside? So then they said is, unfortunately, like we don't have enough people, so the outside is not open. And I'm like, well, that sucks. And at this point, I kind of started to wonder, like, I was not a dick, Kirk, I'll be honest. I was kind, but I wanted to somewhat brought into the situation on some level, even for kind of an experience for my team members, because I didn't like the answer. And so I said, well, there's no way we can sit outside. And they're like, yeah, like we don't have. And I was like, what's it going to take? I was like, what if I pay like extra? Like if I pay $50, can I sit outside? And they're like, and what was crazy to me was he didn't like the way the host didn't even like think like, maybe I should go ask my manager. Like maybe this is a opportunity, like, it's kind of that the patient's always right mentality. And I think I'll kind of talk about this at the end a little bit, but I've done a little bit of disservice in our team with this concept. So I'll come back to that. So anyways, he ends up telling me that they've got one table that they're going to bus it and we can sit down. And I was like, well, so now I think I'm getting to sit outside. Then he takes us to the table and it's not.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, whatever. And I told my team, I was like, I'm going to let this die. Like, I'm not going to probably just keep talking about this the whole time. I promise. And so we had a nice lunch, and then all of a sudden the manager comes by, and manager was like, hey, how's your lunch? And I was like, well, honestly, the lunch is great. Our waitress is amazing, but I was really disappointed we didn't get to sit outside. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you ask? And I was like, oh, and then my team was laughing at this point. I'm like, I asked. I said, I even asked, how much can I pay to sit outside? Like, what's the number to let me sit outside?
Right.
And she was like, I'm so sorry. Like, you totally should be able to sit outside. Like, you know, it'd be no different than like a team member of ours saying something. And then us as the dentist or owner hearing it and being like, oh my gosh, like, what were you like? Of course I'll do that if they pay me extra money. Like, that's a no brainer. And so it was really eye opening in a couple ways. One was, how have I trained my team members to not be patient centric? And what I mean by that is like, we believe in priority scheduling where, like, I typically only do, say, sedation appointments at these certain times. But what I hope I've instilled in my team is that my team members would have the flexibility that someone was like, well, I really want to come in on a Friday, that they would say, well, we can do that, but it's going to cost an extra $1,000.
Right.
Or $500. Or that we would be consumer-centric in, we have our lane, meaning, unfortunately, we don't have seating today, but there is an option if you're willing to pay a little more money. Or so there were lots of ways I saw this going. Like, in my mind, I'm like, why didn't we partition part of the restaurant inside, part of it outside? Like, why didn't we even have an upgrade feature? So then I started looking at my practice and I'm like, man, what if we, for cosmetic cases, we said, hey, the normal turnaround time is three to 4 weeks, But if you'd like to get this done in a week, we can absolutely do that for you. It's an extra $2,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think about how many, like maybe if I, if we're talking about $10,000, $12,000 case.
Right.
So it's expensive already, but you're telling me there aren't patients who would say for an extra $1,000, if I can get it done in 1 week, one day, maybe it's $5,000 to get done in one day. There wouldn't be some sector of the population that would be willing to say yes. And so it really made me kind of start to think, what are these aspects where I could be, I'm missing out on opportunity by limiting the options of what a patient can choose.
Right.
Meaning I'm too rigid in fundamental or function that I'm not being willing to pivot.
Right. As long as it fits your game plan. Now, did you talk to your team about that? Did you present this idea to them after Julio's? You probably presented it all through Julio's. You know, like, hey, this is
So they, well, they did, because then it became the whole topic of conversation. Because then I was even more impressed with the waitress. Yeah. So this kind of is where the story piggybacks. We get this taco platter. So basically, they bring out all the food on a Lazy Susan, and everybody eats off, like, you know, you kind of build your own tacos. Yeah. And on the menu it says ground beef and chicken. And so I didn't really assume there were any other options. But what she did was, when I said, we'll all four do the taco platter, and that'd be great. And she was like, well, would you like to upgrade to fajita steak? And I was like, absolutely. Like, have not been given the option, I would have been totally content with the ground beef and chicken. But now I upgraded, and guess what? So then I got curious. So I said, I don't really care what it costs, but I want to know what it costs to prove a point to my team.
Right.
So she goes, well, I don't know. Let me go check. Comes back. It was $48, $12 a person for the ground beef and chicken. It went up to $90 because of the fajita steak. They basically doubled the production of our order by asking one simple question that how many waiters and waitresses don't ask that question?
Yeah. And you're pointing to something like, sometimes you just got to get good at asking questions.
Yes.
I love this. And
it's not salesy to say, would you like to have fajita steak? And so then I start thinking, like, how many times did my hygienist say, hey, would you like fluoride today?
Yeah.
Hey, would you like to get any whitening today?
Yeah.
Hey, would you like all
don't
that?
Don't you think it's it could be a function of a couple of things. Just not having enough, you know, development time, teaching people to ask great questions, or being fearful. I love your story because I could piggyback on with two more, you know. So I went to a sushi restaurant out west, and it was amazing. And yep. I always say in a sushi restaurant, create the experience. Like,
sure.
I'm new. And then the sushi waiter said the greatest thing. Okay, what's your budget? Because we could go crazy with it. We've all had the experience where you get the bill and you're like, oh my gosh. But I gave him a number. I was by myself. I said like $100. Like, let's do it. And I was traveling. And he's like, I'm gonna leave even room for a tip. I'm like, game on. So it was right around $80-some. And I was like, it was incredible.
That's amazing.
Even in a restaurant, same one, Julio's are a nice restaurant. When you ask for a bottle of wine, what do they always do? Like, give me what you're thinking. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And they can hit the mark because I had a thought. And you're supporting that thought. I would totally upgrade to the steak in a heartbeat, you know?
Right.
So
it was fascinating. Wine's a good one because that's one where it's like, yeah, the budget could be anything. It's kind of like, how do you want to replace your missing teeth? You have a budget in mind. Like, it could be a denture or it could be a fixed hybrid. Like, that's a $25,000 difference in price.
Yeah. So take these two stories. I love them. And loop them into the 32-year-old dentist who's listening to this, who's working their tail off. Like, what do you really want to say to them?
Yeah. So I think, to me, the message is we've got to open our eyes to the way that consumers buy, and that we don't have to, the smart people don't reinvent the wheel. The smart people actually just look out and see how do we buy cell phones? How do we buy mattresses? How do we buy, and it's not necessarily me, it's how does the majority, right? Because if we look at things today, most things that are over $1,000, people buy in monthly payments. So like, if you don't have monthly payment options, most dentistry is not affordable. How do you book your hair appointment, your nail appointment? A lot of online scheduling. Like, just, I like to look at my business and say, hey, I always know consumers are going to want things faster. I always know that they're going to want them to be less frictionless. So how can I just be observant and get creative to make changes to upgrade things? I mean, if you think about it, like, let's say that a patient on 8 veneers decides, you know what, I would like to get this done in 1 week.
Yeah.
And they pay an extra $1,500. There may be a little bit of a rush charge there if you have a lab or something, but the majority of all that is going straight down to the bottom line.
Yep.
Like that's all margin. And so any areas where you can create that incremental growth is really, really important because it that's all profit.
Totally agree. Now, let me ask you a question because this is brilliant and you have these conversations all the time. How many times do limiting beliefs get in the way of even what you're trying to teach?
Dude, it's everything. It's, I mean,
tell
you,
me
you
why.
Hit the nail on the
tell
head, Matt. It's like the number one thing I'll hear is, oh, I live in middle of nowhere, you name it. Oklahoma, Minnesota, Tennessee, Alabama. My patients are different. You know, if I could stress one thing to any dentist listening, it is that the sooner that you can understand that we are not that unique relative to each other, that we've all got similar problems, that dentistry, whether you like it or not, is more and more and more is a commodity, and that you got to do things differently. Like you can't just tell people, hey, like the dentistry of like my granddad and, you know, the 90s and 80s where you could just tell them, hey, you need these things and they would do them. Those days are gone, you know? And so it is tough, but I would say, I really do agree with you that if your mindset is I'm different or my community's different or that won't work here, I love you, but you are the problem. Like you are the problem. And so until you change that mindset, all this is only scratches the surface of the impact that it can have.
Yeah. And there's a lot of tentacles to this. Like one of them is like, you don't think anybody, you don't even value what you do in some cases. Like
what you do
is crazy important. Yeah. So it could be, you know, a lot of these limiting beliefs, I hear them all the time in my heart. You know, I always start with, okay, I'm going to be a little empathetic, but then we're going to get out of this really fast, you know? And you are worth it. Your time is valuable.
Like that is.
You got to tell patients like I'm good at this. Don't you agree?
It's difficult. You know, it is difficult when you're doing primarily dentistry too, that's not rewarding to the patient. And what I mean by that is like, you know, people aren't very appreciative of fillings or scaling and root planing or, you know, so it's one of the reasons like that one of my things that I wanted to do was like, I wanted to clinically level up to where I could do dentistry that people wanted, you know? And I think that's part of it is it's difficult to value what you do when most of what you do, you have to convince people to do. They don't want to do it unless their insurance pays for it. And then they complain about how you messed up their bite or they're sore from the injection. It's like, I didn't put your freaking cavity there. Like so I think that's an aspect of it too that's not discussed enough is that like part of the clinical level up is not only for financial gain, but it's for professional satisfaction.
Yeah.
Because once you do get into dentistry that people want to do, it's like why I love implants so much is like there's not a lot of selling that has to go into like replacing a body part. Like if someone's losing a tooth, it doesn't take a lot of convincing to say, do you want to replace the tooth?
Right. This is so good. I have so many questions. I have like 10 more questions I want to ask you, but I know like I got to be respectful of your time. We could easily make this a 3-hour podcast.
We can always do it again.
Well, you know, I want to do it again and again and again and again and again. Now, before we wrap up, I want you to tell people where to go to find your podcast. We're going to put that in link and tell them about your courses and anything else you do. But before we do that, give us some final thoughts. Like wrap this in a bow for us if I'm missing.
Yeah. So look, what I think the message is that we're moving into an economic reality that I think we're going to continue to see pressure, right? Reimbursements aren't changing from insurances. Employee costs aren't getting lower. Supply costs aren't getting lower. And so the people that there's going to be two types of people, the ones that kind of get swallowed up by the corporate side of things. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, just the reality of it. And then there's people that are going to continue to reinvent themselves. And what I have found and what has been my calling card is that if I just keep pouring back into myself and investing in myself, that return is invaluable.
Yeah.
So that the more that I could level up my clinical skill set and move into dentistry that people wanted to do, that all was helpful. So trying to look at consumers, see how they buy, see how I can change my methods, think outside the box, not just do it the way that everybody always did it. Because if you look at any sort of pattern in history, the people that did things the same way are gone. Those companies are gone. Those societies are gone. The people that reinvent themselves, that leverage their growth, they leverage technology, those are the people that continue to thrive. So to me, that has to be the message, is when times get tough, you don't put your tail between your legs. Like, you double down on you and you double down on that stuff. And those people will rise up and be successful. But, you know, we'd love to help people out. We're 3D Dentists is our company. You know, we do a lot of education, a lot of, you know, two aspects I think that are great, you know, for the listener is, one is if you want clinical live patient, meaning you want to learn to place implants, you already place them, but you want to learn to do advanced bone grafting techniques, lateral windows, sinus lifts, you know, big ridge preservations and whatnot. We do that. And then we also do full arch stuff, fixed hybrids, where you as the doctor can come to North Carolina and actually learn and place these things. So you can find out all about this at 3D Dentist. Our website's 3D-dentist.com. And Meredith is kind of who handles all of our intake and whatnot. And her email is meredith@3D-dentist.com. But we'd love to help you out. And then the second part of it is we do a lot of clinical didactic training. You know, Erin Elliott, she's amazing. If you haven't thought about bringing sleep apnea work into your practice, you should. And then Tim Anderson. Do you know Tim, Kirk?
I don't.
Tim, oh my gosh, you got to have Tim on the podcast. He is, Tim is amazing, really talented. He's out of North Dakota, but he teaches all of our 3D printing stuff. So he is doing just amazing work with 3D printing. And that is that's an area in technology that's just booming. It really is crazy. So he'd be a great guy to have on the podcast. And he teaches all of our 3D printing courses. So those are kind of the areas where we do a lot of education.
You're leaving out the best part. Like, this is all amazing, but like, you guys don't just do education. You guys have a lot of fun. Like, I watch
you. Yes, we do.
Can you speak? Like, you create a pretty cool community. Jim Williams is a dentist. He's like, you should see what they do. Like, you really take these people in. Like, you're together.
Yeah, I mean, we're a family, frankly, Kirk. That's the way we would describe it, is we're a family. And like we love hard. We don't sugarcoat things with the people we work with. Like, we want to see them succeed. And, you know, look, we're like, and no offense to people like yourself who aren't dentists, but we're in the grind, right? And so, like, I resonate with them, and I want to be able to I want to appreciate the reality, but also call their bullshit. You know, like, mm-hmm. I think, like, we need more of that. And a lot in this world, it's all like ass kissing and, you know, and people not really telling the hard truth. And so we have so much fun, and we tell you how it is. And yeah, like, I think there's something different about the way we do things. I really do believe that. And I'm just grateful to be a part, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, and I also watch the food you guys cook. Like,
we do cook food.
It's like legit.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
It's awesome. Now, one more thing. I want you to talk about your podcast too. Like, if I'm listening,
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you guys, you got to go over and listen. So
yeah, I'd love to. So a lot of these conversations we had today, these are things like I love talking about. I like to share stories. So Millennial Dentist Podcast, we're on all the major things. I've been excited about doing video now. I think you got me on that. It was like, I got to make a video too. So they're on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, everywhere that you can find it. But the Millennial Dentist Podcast, yeah, and I'd love for y'all to come listen.
Yeah, please do. So, Sully, amazing stuff. I know I can't keep you all day, but stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. Hey, if you enjoyed today, do us a favor, hit the share button. Check out 3D and everything Sully does. And again, if you're not taking notes, we're going to be taking notes for you. I don't care if you're listening to Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, whatever. You just flip up to the notes. You're going to see links to everything we've discussed. You can click on them. It's going to take you right there. Check it out. I promise you, you'll enjoy it. The storytelling alone on Millennial Dentist is worth the trip. It's awesome stuff. So make sure you check that out. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day.
Thank you for listening to the Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.